talking about trusting him and obeying him. It's better to obey him, to sacrifice. So rather we obey his word. Amen. Trust and obey.
When we walk in the
things that he's given us, and if you just appreciate those things.
Amen.
And allow the Lord to let the purpose of those things be expressed, the devil doesn't get too much room.
Amen.
In the life of a person. But if you miss fellowship, you don't make fellowship, or you don't take advantage of fellowship, because you can come to the house of the Lord and it's have the same effect as if you're just sitting at home watching TV, depending if you're in the spirit of what you do.
Amen.
But it's really is something where the Lord has ordained. That's why he says, forsake not the assembly of
one another.
And more so as we see the day approaching. So there must be something in it. And it's our attitude towards it that brings out that something that's in it and makes it available and a virtue and a benefit to us. Because many people were touching Jesus walking down the road that day, but it was that specific touch of that woman. Where there was a leadership and an expectation and a certain approach that she had. And when she touched, there came virtue from the same body that most people weren't getting virtue from. You know, so it really is a very individual thing. The way that we approach prayer, the way that we approach the word, that's going to determine so much what we get out of these things. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Hallelujah!
But the Spirit itself
Amen.
Maketh intercession for us
Amen.
With groanings that Amen. Cannot be uttered.
Amen.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit.
Yes.
Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's a serious thought. Let's also read Revelation chapter 8. This when we finished off last week about the incense on the altar.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 8, 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayer of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, let your word, as the cherubim, usher us, Lord, to the tree of life upon this earth. That, Father, help us to partake of you. Bless your people, bless your word, bless each person that's gathered. Touch your people, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, you may be seated. That's really interesting in Revelation chapter 8, the way that it's expressed, knowing that Moses was taught to make the tabernacle, which was the earthly pattern of the heavenly, the earthly substance of a heavenly pattern. But when you have a look in heaven in the book of Revelation, as John is taken through the tabernacle, from the church angels, or the table, the candlesticks, and so forth. When he comes to the golden altar in verse 3, the one we just read, it says that he should offer with the prayers of all saints incense. You see, so it's really, really interesting that this angel is commissioned that
Hallelujah.
As the saints are praying, he's got to offer incense
Amen.
At the same time when they pray. And it says in verse 4, the smoke of the incense
Hallelujah.
Which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand.
Amen.
So it wasn't just the prayers of the saints, but it was the incense.
Yes, sir.
You know, and you find if there's something like this in the scriptures. You know, you find in Luke chapter 1 when Zacharias was offering incense at the time of, you know, the offering of incense, the time of prayer, the people outside would be praying in the court just in the hour of prayer because they knew the hour of prayer was the time when the incense was offered.
Yeah.
Now, when the priest would go now to the altar of incense, the golden altar, right before the mercy seat, and would take of that incense and offer it before the Lord, and that cloud of incense would go before the Lord, and then the people would pray at that time. And the prayers now would go as if like mingling with the incense,
Amen.
And it would be acceptable before the Lord. And if you think, why would it be like that? Now, why would you have to have incense mingled at the same
Hallelujah.
Time with the prayers of the saints? Now, the prophet says in the masterpiece, he says, paragraph 211, he says, he's praying and he says, I don't know how to pray.
Hallelujah.
We're talking to the mighty God.
Amen.
And what human being is there? What mortal could make the right type of prayer before the living God? But Lord, my mispronounced words, my nouns and pronouns in the wrong place. If you could pick out the ABCs for a little boy one day and make a sentence, you can omit my nouns
Hallelujah.
And pronouns. And just look to what I believe in.
Amen. Amen.
So the prophet saying the same thing as Paul was saying in Romans chapter 8 is we don't know how to pray. Because how can we as mortals come before the mighty God in prayer? How could we bring any words? You know, the prophet speaks about Daniel Curry when he came into the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
In the presence of that great light and how his bones were like, you know, just about to come apart in the presence of that great light. And then the prophet speaks of when he had come in the presence of the angel of the Lord, how, you know, though he's come 10,000 times 10,000, every time it's the same, I feel like we'd die. No, in the presence of God like that. You know, so the prophet, he can see that. He's saying, but he has immortality. He has God who is perfect and is holy and is just. And he has us now. You know, how do we approach? What would we say to someone who's perfect? Mm. Now, how can you bring a petition before someone who's perfect? We being so imperfect. Mm. You know, how can our prayers be acceptable before the Lord? And that's what Paul is coming to tell us. Is that God in his great condescension. Mm. You know, God in his great willingness to fellowship and to express himself to his children. And also to have, you know, the prayers and the petitions and the praises of his people. The Lord has humbled himself. He's come right the way down from being so majestic and so powerful and so holy. And he allowed certain attributes to be expressed. The prophet says the Holy Ghost is the attributes of God. This is God in a certain offer. So God comes down and he condescends himself down from being the Father. And he comes down in the form of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost now is these attributes of God, when God is expressing himself in such a way that his Spirit can come and meet you right where you are. That his Spirit can come right down to mortal beings when we don't know what to say. We don't know how to express ourselves certain times. Sometimes we're burdened inside of our souls, but we don't quite have the words to express.
Or, amen.
No, sometimes we just want to, you know, get into prayer, and you don't quite know what to say. And there's just a deep inside of you, there's something that you wish you could express. Right. But sometimes your mind has been through, you know, the day, and your mind is tired, or different things have taken place. And there's just something inside of your soul that you can't find an expression for. Yeah. And Paul comes to us and he says, don't worry about that. He says, because that's the ministry now of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That's the ministry. Just like when you come to the temple, the prayers of the people, the prayers of the saints on their own aren't sufficient. So God made a provision and said, okay, bring the appointed incense. Let the priest offer the incense. And then that incense mingling together now with the prayers of the saints, the combination of that, when that comes before me, that's acceptable before me. And that's why prayer is typed like incense as well. But there was this something that was required to be added to the prayers of the saints. And friends, you all know what it's like. We all know what it's like if you don't get into the spirit of prayer. That there's a certain type of prayer. There's a certain something about prayer. You know, that you might not even say certain words like the prophet saying there. You may not be able to express yourself properly. But that's not what prayer is. Prayer isn't your nouns and your pronouns being put in the right place. But prayer is something that is being expressed from your soul. And God has so much, you know, like tying himself together. He so much loves the fellowship of his sons and his daughters. Then God comes right down into your heart.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost comes now. And as you try to express these things, he looks beyond your words. And he looks inside of your heart and he searches your heart. And he sees what you're trying to say. And he sees what it is that you need. And then in the mystery of the Godhead, he now takes that himself back to the throne of grace. And he goes and utters words and groanings which we can't express. And he prays now according to the will of God. Friends, that's a deep mystery that Paul is telling us. Let's read it again just to see what he's saying in Romans 8 verse 26. Now listen how he says it. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Then the Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Hallelujah.
So when we've got weakness, the ministry of the Holy Ghost, these attributes, this expression of the Most High, is to come and meet you in your weakness.
Yes.
To come and meet you in your weakness. So the Lord wants you to do something and now you don't have the strength, or you just say, it's not that easy for me to do this. No, this is when now you find there's the helper.
Hallelujah.
He comes down to help.
Thank you.
The Holy Ghost comes right down to where you were. He won't do the job for you, but he'll help you to get the job done. So he's commissioned you to do something. If he's ordained you to do something, that's why the Bible says God will never put upon you more than you're able to bear.
Never.
Because when you finding the going's tough and you're trying to fulfill whatever God is calling you to fulfill, then when you get to that stage that you're weak, that's when he comes in.
Amen.
And he comes and takes one side of the load, and you take the other side of the load, and he helps you now to bear the load.
Amen.
Now that's why the prophet says, you must be called, otherwise you won't be defeated.
Hallelujah.
Look, because God has ordained this in the life of his children. There's nothing that will ever come across your path in the line of duty that you'll not be able to overcome. Because in your weakness, he'll give you what you need.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost is ordained to help us in our weaknesses. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the advocate. He's the quickening power. He is what we need. When you try to do your best in our mortal being with your soul that's been committed to fulfill its will, when you get to that point that you say, but I don't think I can do this anymore. If that's God's will for you, He's going to be there.
Amen.
And you're just going to raise yourself up and you're going to look and He's going to be looking at you and say, it's okay, I'm here to help you bear the load.
Amen.
That's His commission. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. To come in that form right down to where we are. That when He asks us to do something, He's going to step back. He's not going to do it for us. That in our weaknesses, in our infirmities, He helps us in our infirmities.
Amen.
And friend, think of it. We would have been finished long time ago.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Any believer who's been a believer any space of time can testify of that.
Amen.
There's been so many times when you couldn't go on anymore.
That's right.
So many times you run out of strength. So many times you run out of inspiration. So many times you think, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do this anymore. Amen. You know, I don't think I have the strength or whatever. But if that is what God has ordained you to do, God will never call a person to do something without giving them the backup that they need.
Amen.
He'll always give the backup. The prophet says it in the message, time of decision. He says, Eliezer, when he had the assurance that the angel was going before him, then he could decide to go because he had something to back him up. And to a believer, friends, we've got the greatest thing to back us.
Hallelujah.
The elect, we have this the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that helps us in our lives. He comes to back us up.
Yes, sir.
Our friends, you try to do it without God backing you up. You try to be a believer in this age. You try to, you know, fight spiritual warfare, overcome the conditions of this day without having something in your experience to back you up. You'll go down. It's impossible for you not to go down. That's why the prophet was saying, if you're not called, you'll be defeated.
Yes, sir.
Because if you try to do it yourself, you can't do this on your own.
Amen.
You don't have the strength. That's why God had to condescend from the fatherhood down into the sonship, pay the price, pay the full price of redemption. Then He condescended further down into the office of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The comforter, the helper, the advocate. So that He can come right down to us in our mortality. He can come right down to us sometimes in our confusion. Right down to us sometimes when we're praying things we shouldn't be praying for.
Amen.
And He comes right down and meets us there.
Hallelujah.
Just like when the priest is offering the incense and the prayers are mingling with the incense. His Spirit now comes and mingles together with our prayer and our desire. And He takes it now and brings it in the way that it should be brought. That's what He's saying here in Romans 8:26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for.
Amen. That's
God. So many times we don't even know what we should be praying for.
Yes.
Because we don't have omniscience. We don't know the end from the beginning. We don't know the future. So sometimes you're praying for something here which is not going to help you down the way.
That's right.
But the Holy Ghost comes and He looks in your sincerity. He sees the burden deep down inside of your soul.
Amen.
And He now takes that sincerity and that desire and says, okay, let me take this and go present this in the right
Amen.
Way.
Amen.
That's how Paul can pray three times sincerely and say, please, Lord, take away this problem with my eyes. Yes? Take away this problem that Holy Ghost sees the sincerity of the man and says, okay, you pray with all your hearts, what I'm going to do. And He takes that desire that Paul has. And why was Paul praying that? Because obviously Paul was thinking, if I didn't have this problem with my eyes, I'd be more effective in serving you. And so the Holy Ghost looks and says, I see his desire is good. He wants to serve me better. But he doesn't know how to pray as he ought. He doesn't know the best way for him to serve me as he ought, but I see his desire to serve me. So let me turn this around. And then the Holy Ghost goes before the throne of grace. If you make it like a drama, you know, before the throne, and says, your son, he wants to serve you better. Yeah? And then maybe if you put it in a drama, then the Almighty on the throne says, how does he want to serve me better? And then the Holy Ghost now presents it in a way that's acceptable. Whereas if it was just our raw prayer, friend, just our words, just our desire sometimes, we would have got ourselves in a lot of trouble.
Amen. Right.
Or would have prayed contrary to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
But that's what the Holy Ghost is given for. He says that there, he says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Amen.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
With groanings that cannot be uttered.
Amen.
So it's not us groaning.
Amen.
It's Him groaning.
Amen.
It's not us saying things that cannot be uttered, but it's Him saying things that cannot be uttered. This is a deep mystery that He comes and looks inside of your soul. And He now comes and He takes now your desire, takes your prayer, makes it acceptable.
Amen.
And then God now answers Paul and says, my grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
You know, when you are weak, then you are strong.
Amen.
And then Paul says, hey, that's wonderful. That's the answer to my prayer. It's not the answer the way that I thought it was going to come.
Hallelujah.
But I'll now glory in my infirmities, because when I'm weak, as long as the power of God can rest upon me, that was my desire from the beginning. And there's going to be so many times you get like and say that you don't know exactly what to pray. And that's when now you don't have to worry about it. Because now the Holy Ghost knows what you need.
Amen.
He knows what you're seeking. He knows the desire of your heart.
Amen.
And that's what He goes to say. Look in the next verse. He says, and He that searches the hearts, that's God, knoweth what the mind of the Spirit is. This is a mystery. This is God speaking with God on behalf of you. The problem is that I could never understand that Moses gave God a better idea. Then in the revelation of the word I saw, it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses.
Amen.
So it was God's attributes, the attributes of the Spirit of intercession, interceding with Himself.
Amen.
That's a powerful thing.
Amen.
So who can overcome God's elect?
No.
If God is for you like that, then even when you don't have to pray, He comes right down to where you are and says, no problem. I know what you need. Let me go and get this prayer answered.
Amen.
And He takes it before the throne of God.
Amen.
Ah, friends, I don't think that you have to worry about many things as a believer.
Amen.
As long as you're in your line of duty, as long as you're called, all the resources that you need in your call, it's God's responsibility.
Hallelujah.
To you. Amen.
How will God risk His sons and daughters down in this space of time? Coming from glory, going to glory, but you're between the glories in the space of time.
Mm.
Do you think God would ever risk the souls of His sons and daughters?
No.
Never.
Yeah,
one person's soul is worth 10,000
souls. Hallelujah.
So thank God is going to make sure that His program, God is going to make sure that everything that you need is there when you need it.
Amen.
And sometimes you don't even know what's happening beyond the veil.
Mm.
You don't even know the deep spiritual mysteries which are unfolding on your behalf day by day. Just as much as you don't see the angels that encamp around you.
Amen.
You don't see the angel of the Lord that encamps around them that fear Him. You don't see the angels that are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall obtain eternal life. We don't see that. You know, and we don't see what Paul is saying here. But friends, we see the results of it.
Yes, right.
And the result of it is you sitting there today and I'm standing there today.
Amen.
We wouldn't be here if God hadn't have tied Himself to the humble and condescended Himself right the way down to come right down to our level. To say, I understand. There's times I'm not going to even know how to pray. There's times I'm not even going to know what to say. There's times I'm not even going to know how to express what they're trying to express. So what I will do, I will express my attributes and I will go and search deep inside of them. And then the Spirit now, He catches that inside of you. That's what Paul's saying, the mind of the Spirit. Look what he says. He says, and He that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen.
My, so the Spirit comes so personally to you and searches you and shares what you're saying and sees your design, sees what you're trying to express, that He goes down and makes intercession.
Hallelujah.
And He makes intercession, He's putting it in a way that's acceptable before
Amen. Hallelujah.
He's now taking it with the incense now. Now it's not just your prayers, but now it's something which has got something divine mingled together. And this now is acceptable before the Lord. This can come before Imagine those, the seraphim, they in the presence of God. All they can say is holy, holy, holy. They can't even
Hallelujah.
Ask anything of the Almighty.
Amen.
They're covering their faces, they're covering their feet. All they're saying is holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
And you and I think we can come before a being like that with our limited understanding, our condemnity many times, and we think God will ever hear anything we say. That's why God condescends himself.
Amen.
And he came down as a man, and then he humbled himself and took on honor, and took on the form of a servant and humbled himself to the cross. And then from the cross now, the Holy Ghost was released. And he comes right down to meet you in your point of view.
Amen.
Oh, friends, it's a great thing. It's a great thing that the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
And that's, and you don't have to worry very much about what you pray.
Hallelujah.
It's not so much the words that you say. You know, I know when I was in the charismatic church, they used to say, excuse me for saying it, but some foolish things. You'd find somebody saying, I prayed for a car, but God never answered me. And then someone would come and tell him, God didn't answer you because you didn't tell him exactly what type of car you had. We heard that when we were there.
Yes.
That's, honestly, if you believe it, that's foolish.
That's right.
Amen.
God knows what we need.
Hallelujah.
God knows what we need more than we know what we need.
Yes, sir.
How can God hold back from his sons and daughters just because we didn't find exactly the right words to present? We'd never get anything from God if it was like that. That's what the prophet says. I don't know how to pray.
Amen.
I don't know the words to say. Because I'm praying to the mighty God.
Amen.
But if you could see a young man one day sitting in the woods, not knowing how to pray, but just saying the alphabet, and you could look beyond the alphabet and see the desire in the young man's heart, and then take that alphabet and piece it together
Hallelujah.
To make that desire expressed in an acceptable way and answer the boy's prayer. Surely you can come to me when I don't know my nouns and my pronouns.
Amen.
I don't know how to put things together, but you'll see the desire of my heart.
Yes, right.
You'll see what I believe, the prophet says.
Right.
And that's what prayer is. Prayer is the expression of your soul.
Amen.
It's not the expression of your mind.
No.
Prayer has to be from the heart, otherwise it's not acceptable before God.
Amen.
That is what prayer is.
Right.
Prayer is that deep inside of you, there's something inside of
Hallelujah.
You that's linked to your call, it's linked to your commission, it's linked to what God is doing inside of your life. And there's something inside of there that wants to express itself.
Amen.
There's something inside of there that wants God to get the glory. There's something inside of you that wants, you know, the things that are good for you. But sometimes we don't know. We just feel the burden inside. And even if you don't pray, you feel, I didn't really express that. It doesn't matter that you didn't express that.
Amen.
God sent the intercessor
Amen.
To go and express it for you.
That's right.
So that he prays according to the will of God. And that's why in the tabernacle they had the priest, they had the intercessor, who offered the incense on behalf of the people.
Amen.
And God now had ordained that priest to stand in the gap, to come to that incense altar right before the mercy seat, to put the incense on there. God's appointed incense. And then God would accept now the believers. God would accept the prayers of the people. Oh. But let's not forget that in the tabernacle there's two altars.
That's right. Amen.
Now that this is where you really find now you're standing before the Lord. First there's the brazen altar. The brazen altar is brass, it's judgment. Now prayer is offered at the brazen altar. But it's a different kind of prayer that's offered at the altar of incense.
Amen.
One is offered for remission of sin. It's brazen altar. There's the brazen laver. That whole outer court there, it speaks of judgment. So the word comes and it judges you. Yeah? Or the Lord comes and convicts you of sin, convicts you of backsliding. You're under conviction of sin. You're going to pray a certain kind of a prayer like that. You're going to pray a prayer of penitence, of sorrow for your sin. Like the Pharisee when he was the publican standing beating his breast. He didn't even set his eyes up towards heaven, but he just said, oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinful man. And Jesus said he went away justified.
Amen.
So there's that kind of prayer that's offered there at the brazen altar. But then there's a Revelation 4 verse 1, I come up higher.
Amen.
When John was taken up higher.
Amen.
And he came into another realm. And that's when he started to see all these other things. And this golden altar now, it's gold. It speaks of deity. This is now in the realm. You've gone beyond the veil into the tabernacle itself. You've got to the candlesticks and the showbread and so forth. But you're now in a place where it's the place of service. It's the place where you are a priest ministering before the Lord. You're ministering to the Lord and ministering on behalf of His people. You've now moved into a different spiritual realm, a different spiritual condition. And the prayer that you're going to offer now at that golden altar is going to be very different than the prayer that you pray down there at the brazen altar. There's all these different types of prayer. And we can tell by the kind of prayer that we pray, the kind of desire that we're expressing, you can tell where you are in your walk with God.
Amen.
Because this golden altar was right, the closest you can get to the holy, the mercy seat. There was a veil, but it was right before the Lord, right before the mercy seat. And you were coming and you were offering prayer now, offering intercession with an incense, something that was sweet before the Lord. And it was acceptable before the Lord.
Amen.
And here was He who dwelt between the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat.
Hallelujah.
And you were standing in His presence.
Amen.
And you were clothed in the clothing that He ordained you to be clothed in, the clothing of your calling, the clothing of your commission. And He had separated you from the rest of the people. Friends, the priesthood of the believer is a powerful thing.
Amen.
And He's called us to be a kingdom of priests. That's what He has.
Amen.
He's called us, we are kings and priests before His throne.
Hallelujah.
We're priests to them. We don't have to stay up at the brazen altar. Yes, there's time to need the brazen altar. When there's grievous sin and we have to go back and we have to come under the blood for the cleansing and remission of sin. But for the vast majority of things, we just need to pass the brazen laver. That's just to wash ourselves from little contaminations that you picked up in the journey. So before you come in to minister before the Lord, the priest had to go to the laver to wash himself. And that's the washing of the waters of the
Amen.
Word. It's like to wash us of these little defilements in our minds, little defilements in our attitudes. These things that hinder us from that real effective service. And then we break through the first veil. We've been anointed by Moses. We've been clothed in the holy garments. Now we're coming into the realm of service before the Lord. Now we're coming to the realm of priestly ministration before the Lord. Now we're walking in the light of the candlestick. Now we're eating the showbread that was reserved just for the priest to be eaten. No one else but the priest could eat it. And they had to eat it in the holy place. They had to eat it within that presence, that sanctified, consecrated presence. And they were the only ones. And they were the ones that were anointed now. And they were now entrusted with this incense.
Hallelujah.
The special incense that was pleasing before the Lord. And they would come now to stand at the appointed time, right in the presence of the Most High. And they would come and put the incense on the golden censer, and the prayers would go forth now, and the Lord now would hear the prayers, would smell the fragrance of the intercessor, and would see the sacrifice on that had been offered, a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship, whatever it was, and it would be pleasing, it would be acceptable before the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we're called to do today.
Hallelujah.
As believers, we need to move beyond the brazen altar.
Amen.
You know, you find some believers, you see, they're always like that. It's always repentance for sin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever they pray, it's always confessing their sin. Confession of sin is a part of the Lord's prayer. You know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them. But that's not the main part of the prayer.
Amen. Amen.
To a believer, you put your sins under the blood, but that's not what prayer is really all about.
Yes, sir.
Prayer is moving into a spiritual position. And you realize that He's ministered you into a certain place before His throne. And you offering now a spiritual sacrifice, a spiritual praises before the Lord. Something that is pleasing to Him. Something that brings the sweet fragrance of His presence down into your soul. The sweet fragrance of His presence into your experience once again.
Amen.
And we should never be satisfied in prayer without that.
Hallelujah.
But there's nothing worse than going dry in prayer and coming dry to pray. Next time going dry into prayer, coming dry to pray. You want to come to that place that you right before his throne.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, Paul says, we now, because of this, can come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can come right into the Shekinah presence of God. And as we now offer these prayers and start moving deeper and deeper in the Spirit, you find even the things that you pray for will be prayed for more and more in conformity.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the deeper that you go, the more you get in the Spirit of prayer. You'll find your prayer starts to change its tone, starts to change its, you know, the very emphasis that it has. Whereas before it was a lot of different things just being said, but now there's certain things become deep, certain things have weight upon them. Certain things you just feel you want to express before the Lord. Certain burdens and certain weights and certain things that need to be expressed. And that is what prayer is all about. And saying any believer knows what prayer is about. Because you can't teach someone prayer very well. You can teach someone how to pray, but to really teach prayer, you learn prayer yourself down on your knees. You learn what's pleasing before the Lord, and you learn the type of prayer that's not pleasing before the Lord. You learn there's a certain approach, that whenever you approach in that way, as well as a response comes from the mercy seat. And you find out there's another kind of prayer, like when the prophet, that lady died, remember the one of the baby, he was not happy, and he went to the Lord and said, Lord, you owe me an explanation. And the prophet says, he owes nobody anything.
Amen.
He says, we owe everything to him. He says, and he was quiet. He says, he was, I can't remember exactly the words, but he said he was quiet for about 3 months.
Yes, sir.
Why did the prophet continue on like that? And then one day, when the prophet approached him the right way again, the Lord came in the revelation now to explain why he couldn't answer that prayer. Or why that prayer had been answered in the way that it had been answered. Because that lady was supposed to have died the year before.
That's right.
But the Lord had to wait for her to get ready then to take her home. So that's the way that it is. Let's come tonight with the right approach in prayer. Let's remember that we're priests. Let's remember that we have access. And let's remember this greatest thing that the Lord has done for us. When the Lord gave you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In your soul. You have in your soul all the resource that is required for anything that's going to cross your path. He's going to help
Amen.
You. He's going to quicken you. He's going to intercede for you. He's going to take your prayers, make them acceptable. He's going to do whatever it takes to get you through to the end. Because that's the commission that he's given unto us.
Hallelujah.
And that's how Paul was saying to the Romans. They've been persecuted at the beginning of the chapter and different things. And he was saying, no. He said, all creation is groaning, waiting for redemption, the full redemption. He says, and we are groaning. He says, waiting for the change of the body.
Amen.
And he says, it doesn't stop there. He says, the Holy Ghost in you is groaning.
Amen.
He says, when you don't know how to pray, he groans. And
yes,
he
searches
prayers before the throne of grace.
Amen.
And the great eternal now, who searches the hearts now, he accepts that the way that it should have been prayed in the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Oh, friends, it's an important thing to say the right thing.
Amen.
So many times we don't, but he sorts it out. But there are times that you as a believer, you strike that something and you say the right thing.
Amen.
And something changes right away.
Amen.
The atmosphere changes right away. Something changes inside of your soul. You know you've struck a certain place. A certain channel opens up. A certain something spiritual comes down. A certain rest comes inside of your soul. Because you know that prayer's been heard.
Amen.
That prayer's gone through, and now you can rest.
Amen.
And just wait to see the outworking of that prayer. So let's come, let's stand, saints. Let's come to pray this evening. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Let's really appreciate the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
Let's appreciate the Lord for the message of the hour. Where would we be without the message of the hour? Let's appreciate the Lord for grace, for mercy. Let's appreciate the Lord that he condescends himself right down to us. Every day and every hour. And he meets us where we are. And he understands what we're going through. And he helps us. And he speaks to us. And he guides us. And he quickens us. And he strengthens us each step of the way. I think we really need to appreciate the Lord's saints for the great program of redemption. The great grace that is bestowed upon us. Let's say one song. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. Let's enter in. Let's sing that song, I Enter In.
Amen.
Let's enter in to the Most Holy.
Enter in to the
stewardship for Elizabeth, and may his will be done, we pray. Intercession to be made. The Lord used the prophet.
Amen.
And the prophet didn't know what he was saying.
Amen.
He just felt burdened. He just really felt, you know, a real burden and a real sorrow. And he started to weep, but he didn't know why he was weeping. And he so entered into the fellowship of the Spirit at that time. Because there was a burden and there was a need.
Amen.
And then he sat down on a chair, and then Paul came and said, "Then it's time to go." He said, "No, no, go and tell Brother Knights that I'm
coming.
And I'll come to you in the next service." And then he says, and I sat, and then he said, "I saw that you hear as it were someone speaking German."
Amen.
And so then I thought, "Hey, where's this coming from?"
Amen.
And he says, and I turned, I looked, and then he says, and then I realized that it was me.
Ah, hallelujah.
He says, "But when I spoke like that, when I spoke in German like that," he says, "when I finished speaking, I felt like I could run and leap over a wall."
Amen.
You know, something had taken place in heavenly places. Something had been expressed before the throne of God in an acceptable way. There was a need. There was a need in him. And the Lord saw the need. And the Lord impressed in the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
Upon the intercessor, the Spirit of the intercessor.
Hallelujah.
And the man now was used to bring intercession back to God.
Mm.
And then now when that intercession had been made, now the Lord could release you. The answer to that prayer, that's a really deep thing.
Amen.
I was reading again just the last week about that intercessor, Daniel Nash. They really inspired me. Yeah, and then Charles Finney speaks about it and says, you know, when they went into a certain place, and there was Daniel Nash and the other man, I don't remember his name, and the Cleary or something, the two of them went into it together. And they'd come to this place and went to this woman's boarding house and said to her, "We'd really like to get a room." And she said, "No, I don't have any rooms free." And then so the only place there was a basement, and it was a, they said it was damp, and it was not a nice smelling place. And Nash and Cleary, they rented that place right through the meetings of the campaign of Charles Finney that was coming up. And then one day when Charles Finney was somewhere, I don't know where he was, but that landlady came to him and said, "Please, Mr. Finney, there's something wrong." I said, "What? You better come and see." And she took him down to that basement and opened up the door. And there was Daniel Nash, and there was Cleary lying on their faces, just groaning. Just so burdened. They weren't uttering words. They were just groaning.
Amen.
And then that landlady says, "Well, there's something wrong. I thought maybe to call the doctor because they've been lying like this for days."
Amen.
And Charles Finney said, "There's nothing wrong. It's just travail of soul."
Amen.
No, they've really entered into the fellowship of Christ and suffering, the feeling that he had at that time. So the Lord looked out at the the city where Charles Finney was about to preach, the people were hard-hearted, there was wickedness and there was evil. And the Lord was looking for an intercessor. He said, when the Old Testament is, and I sought for one to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find one there if I had to visit because my church.
Amen.
And those two men, just through prayer, had become so yielded that maybe they didn't even know why they were burdened.
Hallelujah.
Why they were expressing this groans and utterance. But that was intercession being made for people on behalf of people. And the Lord was laying upon them such a burden. But they couldn't find words. If you'd have asked them, why are you so burdened? Just couldn't express it. I'm just feeling this burden inside of my soul. There's just a something, there's an anointing, there's a deep, there's a burden. I'm just trying to find a relief, I'm just trying to express something. And that's what Paul is saying in Romans. He says, no, the Holy Ghost takes that now. And that becomes words.
Amen.
That
becomes
the names of people and the situations of people. Pray right before the mercy seat in the very presence of the Most High. And that now brings forth the attributes of grace. And then Charles Finney came and stood in the pulpit, and then such an anointing would come upon the man. You know, until in the whole town, the town would have such an anointing upon it that anybody coming into the city would feel it straight away.
Amen.
Conviction of sin and such a burden that people leaving the city would feel it as you left the city. The conviction and the burden left. But friends, that's a serious, serious.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's why the prophet says, the Pentecostals that said, speaking in tongues of the evidence of the Holy Ghost, he said, if I could show you an evidence to show someone who's really in tune with the Holy Ghost, it says Ezekiel 9.
Amen.
It says people.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The sins of the city.
Amen.
It says people who can't rest daily.
Amen.
Yeah. And that really shows a spiritual realm that someone's getting into.
Amen.
Started to share the burden of the Lord.
Amen.
His burden that he has because of what's going on in this place. I really, really appreciate the prophet and the message, whether he speaks, because he balances the things so well.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what we think sometimes is spirituality isn't really spirituality.
Amen.
You know, because not many people want that kind of spirituality. Not to pay that kind of a price. No, because you have to really die to yourself. You have to really lay yourself on the altar as a burnt offering. Then you've got to like get rid of all your selfishness and all your ambitions and all your own thoughts and purposes and plans. And become so yielded and surrendered in the hands of God that God can so burden you like that. And there always comes the fruits of redemption from that kind of burden.
Yeah.
And that's like when you read about that Ganesh, you saw within 3 months, of his death, Charles Finney left the evangelistic field.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and he became a full-time pastor. Because it wasn't so much the power of the preaching of Finney. It was the power of intercession.
Amen.
It was that power of people moving into that realm.
Amen.
And the Lord burdening them and then speaking the will of God back to the Lord so that he'd move on behalf of people. Because that's a great, great depth.
Amen.
And a great mystery of prayer. What prayer really is. And I'm sure that you have any
Hallelujah.
You desire. Not all of us are able to that ministry of intercession like that. But surely every single one of us, we have the capacity inside of ourselves to yield ourselves to the burden. And the Lord's drawing near and He's putting a burden upon you for someone. Now lay aside everything else and just nurse them, express them in any way that you possibly can. And let the Lord use you to express His will back to Him.
Amen.
Like Moses now falling in the gap between
Amen.
The people and the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord, and brother, block my name out of your book. That was the Spirit of Christ in Moses. That's why I read the prophet was so scriptural when he said, I'll show you the scriptural evidence that people are so burdened for the sins that are done, for the things that are taking place. Oh Lord, may the Lord help us.
Amen.
Each time we pray to enter deeper.
Hallelujah.
In these kind of seasons and these kind of times. Just to yield ourselves in that kind of way. So that your prayer gets to
be
more effective. It might not be so exciting. It might not be so many great words that you're saying, but that's some glory, that's something that's being expressed.
Amen.
That moves heaven. You know, God brings the visitation of the grace of God on the lives of people and so forth. I don't think there's any greater privilege that God can give to a person than to share his burden with him like that. I'd rather have that than riches and enemies. I'd rather have that than palaces, cars,
whatever.
All secondary and mean that all perish. But the real thing is that you can have, like the prophets of the Old Testament, the burden of the word of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When it speaks of the burden of God, And to enter into that place of a common feeling with the Lord.
Amen.
Because he's condescended to come down to have a common feeling with us.
Mm.
And then he wants now to put that burden upon us so that we have this great partnership together with him. He continues now to express this gratefulness. So let's really, really desire just to yield in a deeper way to him. Just to be more sensitive. Submit ourselves more. If you wake up in the night and there's a burden upon you for someone that you feed the burden, that you feed the burden, that you pray. Let anything else come in the way, because it's the most precious of the works of
Christ. Amen.
And in that kind of work, other people enter to the harvest and reap the fruits. And Jesus said to his disciples, you're reaping fruits that you didn't labor for.
Amen.
But there's other people, the unseen hearers, the intercessors, the prayer warriors. Know some of the saints are praying here tonight, all that. May the Lord bless them in prayer. And to really, really come before the Lord. And that's the thing. It's not how much energy is used, but it's how much we can get into that place so the Lord can express his desire. And express his desire. So that his work can be done. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Any requests?
Test on
Monday as well. And there's the normal request, and let's really pray for our church at this time.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for the things that he's doing.
Amen.
We thank the Lord in heavenly places. There's been a lot of things moving. We really do appreciate that.
Amen.
So we just want to move to that place of perfection.
Amen.
Of maturity. That Lord may help us in every aspect.
Amen.
In every aspect that the Lord's work is done. And that means grace. That he prays upon each and every one of us. Let's really, really pray. Let's pray for the services, pray for the ministers, pray for the officers.
Amen.
Let's pray for our children. Let's pray for the Sundays. Let's pray for our youth.
Amen.
That the Lord may continue.
Amen.
To do his work.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray the Lord will send, like we said, the Lord will send his servants away. The Lord knows what we need.
Amen.
That the Lord lay the burden upon
Hallelujah.
His sons, that they may come. Minister the mind of the Lord unto us.
Amen.
That's what we want. We want to know what the mind of the Lord is.
Amen.
That's the most important. I pray for the men of our church tonight. People have worked different things. Let's pray for them. Whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart on behalf of somebody else, let's come before the Lord once again. Let's put these petitions before
the Lord. Amen.
We should press that we do this. Let's sins. And let's come before the Lord with these requests. And let the Lord bless the petitions of his people.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit,
yes.
intercede for us. Amen. You can put the conviction in the heart, in the mind of those judges, oh Lord, so that they can give him the desire of his heart.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we think of our brother Mike. Oh, MP, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless him, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Give him the job he's seeking.
Amen.
Every single one of
yes,
us. Those who are looking for promotion in their jobs, oh Lord, grant them promotion. Oh Father, our children in school, open their intelligence, oh Lord, so that they can excel, Heavenly Father, and achieve better results. Father, we commit everything into your hands. Bless us, oh Lord. We long after it. Be with us. Depart with us, oh Lord.
Amen.
Bless the remaining of the week. Bless Sunday service, oh Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's sing one as we dismiss Kelly George, if you have one for us. Sound is really making a lot of tweets and brands. If you're sitting, we look at it sometimes.